Hi, this is Pastor Chris. I'd like to welcome you to this edition of Sunday in Review. This is for Sunday, September 8th, 2019. And here's what happened at Living Hope Baptist Church in Geneva, New York on that day. It's a special day, actually, this Sunday, because on this Sunday, we had missionaries visiting us, missionaries that we have supported for almost 10 years now. Their names are Jeff and Becky Raymond, and they are missionaries serving with ABWE, the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. And we'll say a little more about them in just a few minutes. But our day began, as usual, at 9:30 in the morning with Sunday school. And before we dove into our word of the day, we gave an advertisement for our upcoming class in systematic theology. 10 classes, 10 doctrines, 10 students. We're limiting the class to 10 students, but there's still room available. It will be on Wednesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. from September 25th through November 20th. And if you would like to join us, please feel free to do so. Let me know, though, and I will send you the information you need and some of the materials you will need. After that, we had our word of the day, and our word of the day was douceur. And I apologize to any French-speaking people here because my French obviously is terrible, but the word is douceur, douceur, D-O-U-C-E-U-R, douceur, and it is a noun, referring to a financial inducement or bribe. After that, we had our church trivia of the day, where the trivia is not trivial. Here's your question. This early church pastor, around 50 to 108 AD, was also known as the Theophorus, the God-bearing one. He was a writer and the bishop of Antioch. While on his way to martyrdom in Rome, he wrote a series of letters. He is considered one of the apostolic fathers. Who was he? And your choices are 1. Clement, 2. Polycarp, 3. Irenaeus, and 4. Ignatius. That's Clement, Polycarp, Irenaeus, or Ignatius. The correct answer is Ignatius, Ignatius of Antioch. At this point of our Sunday school lesson, I turn things over to Jeff and Becky Raymond. And I'm going to say a little more about them when I review what happened during the morning service. So I'm going to go ahead and look forward at the morning service. After Jeff and Becky shared in Sunday school, we had our break, and then we began our worship service with that song, Old Church Choir, saying there's a revival, we hope, and it's spreading. And we talked about how we got an old church choir singing in our souls, and we've got a sweet salvation, and it's beautiful. Amen. Great, great song. After that, we greeted everyone, and then we reminded folks that that evening we were going to be showing the last episode of Not a Fan, a Follower Story. Truly a tremendous series, 6 episodes, dealing with eternal issues and what it means to be a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. After that, once again, gave the advertisement for our class in systematic theology, and then we had our call to worship, Psalm 68, verses 33 through 35. To him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old, indeed he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God, his excellence is over Israel. And his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. After that, we had more singing. We sang, Glory to God forever, God of wonders and canons. We're singing, at the great part of canons, we're singing, You are holy, great and mighty. The moon and the stars declare who you are. We recognize that we're unworthy, but still you love us. Forever my heart will sing of how great you are. Great, great song. Ends with this idea. You are holy, great and mighty. Forever my heart will sing of how great you are. After that, we turned to scripture and we read Acts 26, verses 1 through 18, in which Paul defends himself in front of King Felix and Agrippa. And during that time, as he defends himself, he recounts his conversion experience. And he describes Jesus as appearing to him. And then verse 16, he says, Jesus said, But rise and stand on your feet. This is Jesus speaking to Paul. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. After our scripture reading, we had our time of giving. We dismissed the children for Children's Church, and then we had a time of prayer. One great praise is there's a family that we've been praying for. The husband has been here in Geneva for 2 or 3 years now working, and he was trying to get his wife and children to be able to come and join him from the Philippines. And praise God, he was able to do it. They were able to get their visas, and they were there on Sunday morning, and we were thrilled. That was a great praise. Well, we spent some time in prayer, and then we turned things over to Jeff and Becky Raymond. I'm going to read a little bit from their webpage so you get an idea what Jeff and Becky shared with us on Sunday. I will not share it as well as Jeff did, but I'll give a little bit about what they're doing and why we believe it was important and is important to continue to partner with them in their work. For many years now, Jeff and Becky have been serving within the area of visual communications at ABWE. Now, ABWE, again, is the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. And Jeff and Becky work at the headquarters within this department, really are the department in many ways, of visual communications. It says here on their website, in a world inundated with communications, messages deeply anchored in humanistic philosophy, the critical need has never been greater for the message of God's hand at work around the world. We, that's Jeff and Becky, are passionate about telling these stories from a biblical perspective and equipping God's servants to use innovative visual communications technologies to impact the world with the gospel. To that end, then, he says, we empower missionaries by providing multimedia training and resources. And indeed, as we were able to hear more about that, we saw how he had empowered people to do that. And we saw the videos that many of the missionaries he works with have produced. And they were inspiring and encouraging and convicting, honestly. Really tremendous, tremendous pieces of art as well as communication. Then he says, we inspire people to partner with missionaries, gain them to the field faster. We strive to enhance their ministries on the field by giving them the tools to reach the lost. And then he says, we encourage their supporters back home by sharing stories of lives changed. Really, one thing I took away from Jeff and Becky as they shared was the importance of actually allowing people to see what God is doing on the mission field. Wherever you are, whether it's here in America or in the farthest, most distant place from America, how important it is to show people what God is doing. I do want to share a little more. This is from another page on their website. By the way, I encourage you to go to the website. It's raymond.abwe.org. That's Raymond, raymond.abwe.org. And you can read more about their work. But this is from their page where they are describing their ministry. And he says, today we have unparalleled opportunities to reach people using internet-based technologies. Rather than be limited geographically, ABWE Visual Communications is an international ministry, allowing us to be directly involved with all of the 60-plus countries where ABWE missionaries serve. So, Visual Communications, of which they are a part, is an international ministry, which involves four key areas. Number one, overseas photography. It says they travel throughout our mission field studying the various ministries in order to find ways to visually communicate the spiritual work that God is doing around the world. That way, our missionaries can use our photos to communicate their ministries. The second way, he says, or the second key area is multimedia training. And that is done to help God's servants, missionaries, pastors, Christian workers become more effective in communicating their ministries. Then the third key area is mobilizing volunteers. Jeff and Becky work to train and prepare those God has gifted with skills in photography and visual media to be more effective as they send them out on assignments to mission fields around the world. And finally, the fourth key area here is to develop strategies, global strategies, for missions communications. As new communications technologies come about, Jeff and Becky study ways to use them in missions. More importantly, he says, we put them in the hands of our missionaries. So rather than becoming frustrated with trying to keep up with changes, they can remain focused on their primary ministries. And I this is Chris speaking. I can throw in here that Nicole and I, having served overseas and then here in the States as missionaries, know these frustrations well. We are doing the work of ministry, or at least we're trying to do the work of ministry, and simultaneously trying to keep up with all the changes in technology. It's a lot, and we admittedly fall behind, and we want to communicate better. And so to have people like Jeff behind us who can encourage us and help us and show us new methods is of great benefit. Well, he says, we do these four things so that ABWE's commitment to the Great Commission can be fulfilled as God's amazing works are clearly communicated to the church. Jeff and Becky say they are convinced that until people see with their own eyes the ways God is working, their hearts will not be drawn to becoming part of the work Christ commanded each Christian to be involved with. Well, we were very encouraged to be able to have Jeff and Becky with us, and we are grateful for their partnership over these last 10 years. And my prayer is that that will continue until the Lord returns or they retire. So it's just a wonderful thing to have been a part of and to be a part of, and we look forward to see how God will use them in the future. After their presentation, we sang a song, O Come to the Altar. We took a love offering, and then we had the benediction from number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Well, after our morning service concluded, we took a break for the afternoon, and then we came back together for the Family Bible Hour. And in the Family Bible Hour, we began, as usual, with a call to worship. This one came from Psalm 98, verses 1 and 2. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. Well, after that, we sang a song, one that I did not know well, frankly, but it was a great song. Hopefully we'll learn it better, called Tremble. It says, peace, bring it all to peace, the storms surrounding me. Let it break at your name. Still, call the sea to still. The rage in me to still every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you who make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Breathe. Call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing. Once again, I will praise. Great song. I've been reminded as we've been singing lately that indeed it is the breath he gives us that we return to him. And it is appropriate, always appropriate, that we should give praise to the one who has given us life and is good and loving, merciful, and gracious. Well, after our time of singing, we turned again to the reading of God's Word, and we looked at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We turned to a time of missions where we were praying for the G. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I hope so. In China. The G, it's spelled G-E, live in Guangzhou province. And the population is a small people group, about 135,000 people. Very, very small percentage of Christians. Less than 0.1, well, about 0.12 of a percent. So a very, very small group of Christians there. The largest religions are ethnic religions. The main language is G. Well, the majority of the G are located in the mountains, as I said, in the central part of Guangzhou province. They wear a unique costume, and they speak their own language. The G women's costume is designed to resemble a general's uniform, in remembrance of a rumored general who was her ancestor, and they call themselves Jimong. The G practice polytheism and animism, and ancestral altars are also found in most homes. Well, if they become Christians, they risk losing friends, family, and status, and we shouldn't think of those as trivial things. So the prayer request is that we would pray for the few Christians among the G, that they would become mature enough in the faith to take the good news of Jesus effectively to the remainder of their tribe. We are to pray for training and equipping of the G people. Also, we're to pray that the Christian believers among the G would be faithfully fellowshipping together and spur one another toward love and good deeds. We should pray that they would be zealous to become faithful disciples of Christ. And then finally, we were asked to pray that each individual in the G community, whether believe or not, would have an opportunity to hear clearly the good news about Jesus in his or her own mother tongue, G in this case. Pray for several opportunities for them to hear. And we had a scripture focus for that from Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. I remind you that we get these people groups and the prayer requests from the Joshua Project. I encourage you to go online, look up the Joshua Project, and indeed see if you can pray each day for one of the people groups. So that was the G people group. After we finished our time of prayer, we turned for the last time to the 6th episode of Not a Fan, a Follower Story. The point of the series is that we're called to be more than just fans of Jesus, like we're fans of a football player or fans of a favorite movie star. We are called to be committed, devoted followers. And in the 6th episode, we saw the daughter struggle with her faith. This is the daughter of a man who, in an earlier episode, had passed away from a heart attack unexpectedly. He had had a heart attack earlier, a few years earlier, and had decided to dedicate his life fully to the Lord. And everything had changed in his life. And everybody had been affected, including even his daughter, as she experienced changes in their housing and changes in her dad's occupation and focus of activities. This challenged her, ultimately, to make a decision about whether or not she was doing those things because she had to or because they really mattered to her. And in the course of the episode, we see that she made a choice for Christ, and we see some of the fruit, the spiritual blessing that comes out of that. The ultimate challenge was for each individual to ask himself or herself, am I a fan of Jesus or am I a committed, devoted follower? This is really a great question and one that we should take away not just for this day or this week, but for the rest of our life. Our goal always should be that at the end of our lives, people will say that guy or that lady was a real devoted follower of Jesus. That's my goal. My goal actually is to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. I hope that's your goal. As we end this Sunday in review, I hope you have a great week. God bless.